It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and I'm Dave Sobel. Three things to know today. Remote employees face a higher layoff level and lower promotion rates, exposing firms to legal risks. Sanders and Fain advocate for a shorter work week, highlighting long hours compared to global peers. And generative AI adoption to face slowdown over copyright concerns, per Gartner. This is the Business of Tech.
Data migrations are complex and irritating, creating days of frustration from setup to cutover. MoveBot was built from the ground up to fix that. MoveBot is the simplest and fastest data moving tool there is, fully hosted with no infrastructure, no virtual machines, none of that. Sign up, connect, scan, and you'll be moving data in minutes. Techs of all levels can now move terabytes per day with MoveBot. The magic lies in how MoveBot simplifies and auto-scales your migration with modern cloud technology, handling proprietary doc types, file name sanitization, permissions, and cutover, with detailed reporting and alerting at every step. Start moving data like a pro at MoveBot.io. Yesterday, I mentioned that occupancy rates hit 62% of their February 2020 average for office space. Let's examine that landscape a bit more. A study found that return-to-office mandates did not improve firms' financial metrics, but decreased employee satisfaction. The analysis of S&P 500 companies showed that RTO mandates were linked to firms with male CEOs who had greater power in the company. The study suggested that RTO mandates may be used to reassert control over employees and blame them for poor firm performance. Unsurprisingly, RTO mandates were associated with declines in overall job satisfaction, work-life balance, senior management, and corporate culture. A survey by FlexJobs found that half of American workers are willing to take a pay cut for the opportunity to work remotely. Many workers are also willing to give up vacation days and increase working hours for remote work. The survey also revealed that workers are willing to forgo other benefits, such as professional development opportunities and company-provided insurance. Millennials were most willing to give something up for remote work, followed by Gen X and Boomers. Workers are also willing to relocate for remote work, with lower living costs, climate, and culture being motivating factors. The share of workers living far from their offices has increased significantly, and the desire for remote work has remained strong despite layoffs in industries that offer virtual opportunities. Remote workers are at higher risk of being laid off or missing out on promotion opportunities than their in-office counterpart, potentially exposing employers to discrimination suits. Studies show that remote white-collar workers were 35% more likely to be laid off and 31% less likely to be promoted. Dell has changed its promotion policy for remote employees, requiring them to work at an approved office at least 3 days a week to be eligible for promotion. This shift contradicts the company's previous support for remote work, goes against Michael Dell's belief that in-office work is unnecessary for a good company culture. And in all this change, Business Insider covers landlords considering alternative uses for office space. Explored options include hotels, advanced manufacturing facilities, film studios, and medical offices. While residential conversions are still the most profitable choice, there are financial and physical hurdles to repurposing office spaces. Warehouses may be a viable option for large office spaces. And this might all be political, too. A survey shows that the subject has become unnecessarily politicized, and many believe that companies are out of touch for focusing on back-to-office protocols. The issue is emotionally charged due to its connection to the COVID-19 pandemic, and questions of fairness and power do arise. The debate often cleaves among familiar divides, with remote workers typically being college-educated urban employees, while those unable to work remotely are more likely to be frontline workers. Recruiters warn that willingness to come into the office has become a factor in hiring and length. Why do we care? Opportunities exist in areas ripe for disruption. In technology services, we're looking for those. Additionally, the high value of technology consulting helps customers maximize their technology investment. That's why work dynamics, remote work, hybrid work, whatever you call it, are opportunities. Data shows that imposing RTO mandates is detrimental. However, flinging staff remotely without policies and support is also detrimental. So there's work to guide customers here. And note there will be a window to this opportunity. Consider this. As office leases come up for renewal and potentially don't get renewed, and as landlords find other uses to move commercial real estate to, there's going to be a shift. What can you do to take advantage of that shift? And a critical insight is that the issue is politicized. To avoid the mess, strive for transparency and inclusivity in your decision processes. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced a bill to shorten the U.S. work week to 32 hours without a decrease in pay. The bill, called the 32-Hour Workweek Act, was introduced in the Senate and companion legislation was introduced in the House. The proposed legislation would gradually shorten working hours over 3 years. Bernie Sanders and Sean Fain penned a Washington Post opinion article offering this data to support the bill. American workers are more than 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s. In 2022, U.S. workers logged 204 more hours a year than employees in Japan, 279 more hours than those in the United Kingdom, and 470 more hours than those in Germany. 71% of workers in companies that have moved to a four-day work week report feeling less burnout, 39% feeling less stress, and 46% reported feeling less fatigued. According to a recent report, 31% of U.S. tech workers work less than 40 hours per week, with younger generations taking advantage of workplace flexibility. The report also highlights that tech companies are hiring and looking to attract top talent by offering work-life balance and better benefits. Job seekers prioritize work-life balance, less stress, and improved benefits when considering new roles. Why do we care? I'm going to quote the opinion piece. Although it is rarely discussed in the media, the Senate overwhelmingly passed legislation to establish a 30-hour work week in 1933. While that legislation ultimately failed because of intense opposition from corporate America, a few years later, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the Fair Labor Standards Act into law, and a 40-hour work week was established in 1940. End quote. I bring this up because 40 hours is arbitrary. There's no magic to 40 hours. I'm skeptical that this bill has legs for many reasons. That's not the focus. The insight is that there's room to be competitively different in adjusting your work culture and helping customers do that too. Arbitrary limits are the perfect place to be disruptive. According to Gartner, the adoption of generative AI will slow down due to concerns about copyright infringement. As generative AI models are trained on large amounts of data, including content from the internet, there's a risk of using other people's work without explicit permission. This has led to legal action and defensive spending by organizations to protect intellectual property. Gartner also predicts that building large language models from scratch will be costly and complex, leading many enterprises to forego their efforts. To maximize results, chief data and analytics officers should balance AI ambition with risk tolerance and design open systems to switch models as needed. By 2028, Gartner predicts that one-third of interactions with generative AI services will utilize action models and autonomous agents for task completion. Autonomous agents have the potential to handle complex tasks, learn from their environment, and improve over time. They can reduce the need for human intervention and impact sectors such as healthcare, education, gaming, and insurance. Clear, objective functions are crucial for controlling the behaviors of autonomous agents and delivering value. According to EY, generative artificial intelligence integration is the top opportunity for tech businesses in 2024. Most companies are still in the early stages of AI maturity. Strategies based on generative AI have the potential to fuel the industry's resurgence. The report also highlights the utilization of generative AI in front office and back office trials and the importance of careful solution design and additional controls. According to Gartner research, more than half of enterprises that build custom large language models will abandon initiatives due to costs, complexity, and technical debt by 2028. Fast and generative AI can lead to high technical debt. Early movers have the advantage of upskilling and acquiring talent. However, generative AI efforts may help in reducing tech debt in the future. Enterprises can use generative AI tools to replace legacy apps, shrinking modernization costs. Balancing AI goals with risk tolerance is crucial, as the competitive advantage of AI solutions is short-lived. Why do we care? I'm shocked to learn that reality will slap hype back. Who knew? But in all seriousness, this data is both obvious and insightful. Customers need help finding the right use for this new technology within legal bounds. It has significant potential, and the trick is to make smart first moves and not drag technical debt forward. I love it all. There are lots of ways to solve this problem, and move as fast as possible is not the best one. I'll also offer that not moving is a pretty poor one too. Thanks for listening. It's National Automatic Door Day. Seriously, National Automatic Door Day. Have a question you want answered? We're taking listener questions. Send them, ideally as a voice memo or video, to question@msbradio.com. I answer listener questions live each week on our Wednesday live show on YouTube and LinkedIn. This week, 3 p.m. Eastern. Got a comment or a thought? Put it in the comments if you're on YouTube. Reach out on LinkedIn if you're listening to the podcast. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button, follow, or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSP Radio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit MSPradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.